am really excited to be able to speak today. 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, I had the privilege of tag teaming with my husband and with Brother Jerry. And we, together between the three of us, presented a message on protecting your bean patch. I won't go back over it because you can see it online, and I'd really like to continue it today. And that's so if any of you want to look it up online, if you want to get, if you weren't here, to get the foundation of what we shared. But I would like to, well, briefly we will look at the scripture that was the foundation scripture for that message. And it's taken from 2 Samuel 23, verses 9 to 12. And it says, next in rank among the three was Eliezer, son of Dodo, a descendant of Ahio. They had such strange names back then. Once Eliezer and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. And he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword. And the Lord gave him a great victory that day, and the rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. And it said about Shamar, he held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. And so the whole overtone of the message was the fact that the son of Dodo's doesn't give up. And if a son of Dodo doesn't give up, then we shouldn't give up. And I love the concept where it said that he held his sword so tightly in the battle that he said his hands were actually cleaving or glued to the sword. He wouldn't let go until he had seen victory. And what we shared then and that day was the fact that that's what God wants us to have, that passion that will not give up, that will keep on pressing in, that will take the sword, which for us is the sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God, take God's word, and we will keep on standing and keep on fighting until we see his word come to pass. So that was, I said, 2 weeks ago. And that today I want to, with that same picture in our minds of the son of Dodo cleaving and holding on tightly to those swords, and that, and one of the things that it actually says in there is that he was protecting his field. And it was Brother Jerry that called it his bean patch. He said, if you live in the southern part of the United States, he said, your field is your bean patch. And so he said he stood there because he wasn't going to let anybody take his bean patch. So if I make references in this message to the son of Dodo or the bean patch, that's where it comes from. But today, what I want to do is I want to look at a man in the Bible who did protect his bean patch and did stand till he saw victory and had that same spirit, and that was the man was Elijah. So I'm going to start by just giving you an overview of Elijah, and that the first mention of Elijah is in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And it says, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe. So I guess if you come from Tishbe, you're a Tishbite. I'm from Melbourne, so I'm a Melbourneite. And that Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab the king, as certainly as the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be no rain or even dew in the years ahead unless I command it. Now, that is actually the first mention of Elijah in the Bible. So that's the first time his name is mentioned. And that, what a dramatic entrance to come. Your very first mention, your first appearance on the scene, and you're going up to a king and you're saying, as certainly as the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be no rain or even dew in the years to come until I give the command. And, you know, when I was reading this week and I've been studying Elijah, I was talking to Peter this morning. I said, I kept in my mind, and those who know me well know I'm very much a visual learner, so often I will try to get a modern day situation or something to help me understand. And I imagine myself going up to our current Prime Minister. I can't pronounce his name, so I won't. But you all know our current Prime Minister. And saying to him, and walking up to you know, Parliament House in Canberra and saying, there will be no rain until I command, until I say it. And that, but then it was actually last night as I was praying, the Lord said, no, this wasn't like you going up to the Prime Minister of Australia. He said, this would be like you going to the Prime Minister or the King or the reigning monarch of a country that is not Christian at all, like China or somewhere like that. He said, it's a far bigger step. He said, if you went up to Parliament House, he said, in Canberra, they'd obviously take you away. You know, he said you would get, and they'd think that you were stupid. But he said, if you went up to a country, he said, this is a country, this is a king who not only didn't follow God, he hated God. And he said he was wicked in every way. The Bible talks about him. And that, and when I thought of that, I thought, wow, that is quite a powerful entrance. So if we just read it again, understanding that this is his first entrance into the Bible, it says, Elijah went up to the king Ahab and he said, as certainly as the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be no rain or even dew in the years ahead unless I give the command. So Israel was being ruled by a very godless and very wicked king. And the previous chapter actually talks about Ahab and says he was evil in the sight of the Lord. So at God's command, Elijah goes to him and informs him that there will be no rain. And it's a very, to me, very gutsy thing to be saying to a king who could easily and would easily kill you straight away. Then we see what God tells Elijah. So I'm just going to read this through. I told them not to worry about putting the verses up because I'm just going to be reading them through quickly, but just to give us an overview of where Elijah is at. So 1 Kings 17, it says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide, etc., by a brook, drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I've commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning. But after a while, the brook dried up. And the Lord said to Elijah, don't worry, go and live in the village of Zarephath. I have instructed a widow to feed you and look after you. Moving through this story, we see God protect and provide for Elijah through ravens, through widows. And we also see Elijah stepping up into the supernatural where he's raising the dead. He's seeing food multiplied. Then God sends him back to Ahab. So this is 3 years later. So for 3 years, he's lived between, by a brook of Kerith, I think it is, and he's lived in Zarephath, where he's been looked after by a widow. 3 years later, God sends him back to King Ahab. And Elijah tells Obadiah to go and let the king know he's back. Now, it says that Obadiah was in fear and trembling. He wasn't very happy. He's going to go back to the king who has now been reigning for 3 years in drought. People do not have food. They don't have water. They're really struggling. And he's going to walk into his throne room and say, he's back. Elijah's back. He's out there. He wants to see you. And that I'm sure Obadiah probably feared for his life at the same time. But so Elijah goes, or actually King Ahab came out and saw Elijah and he obviously wasn't very pleased at all that he was back. And so it says there, so Obadiah went and told King Ahab that Elijah had come. Ahab went out to meet Elijah and Ahab said, so it really is you, you troublemaker. Elijah replied, I have not made trouble for Israel. You and your family have made the trouble, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord. Elijah really had spunk. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel along with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel and Elijah stood in front of them and he said, how much longer will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow them. He said, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. So he told them to bring two bulls and to cut them into pieces, and the prophets of Baal would have one, he would have one, and then they would call on the name of their God, and that and the God who answered by fire would be the true God. And all the people agreed. So Elijah tells them to go first, and then the spunk. You know, there's spunk there. There's somebody in our family that I was thinking of last night when I was writing these. It's got that spunk. Elijah started taunting him and saying, "Oh Baal," and that because they're all yelling out, "Oh Baal, answer us!" And they started dancing and hobbling around the altar. And suddenly Elijah said, "You'll have to shout louder. Maybe he's deaf. Perhaps he's daydreaming. Perhaps he's relieving himself. Maybe he's gone away. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he needs to be wakened." Wow, that would be like a red rag to a bull. This is somebody who is obviously, as I said, you would suggest have a lot of spunk, but we'll wait till we get to the end of it. And that then it came Elijah's turn, because nothing happened with their sacrifice. He dug a trench around it, and he told them to fill four large jars of water and to fill the trench with water. And he asked them to do it three times and that. And then he walked up to the altar and he prayed and he said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, prove today that you are the God of Israel, that I am your servant, and prove that I have done all this at your command." I really want you to listen and to take hold of that. Prove that you are the God, you are the God of Israel, I am your servant, and prove that I have done all this at your command. So you understand, this was not Elijah suddenly just coming out and saying something himself. He was doing it at the command of God. And that is a very, very big defining factor in this story. And that, and he said, "Lord, answer me." And immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven, burned up the bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face, yes, saying, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." That was one powerful show, really. Like, that was God supernaturally proving beyond doubt that he is God. But then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Elijah is saying to the king, "Run and grab something quick because there's a rainstorm coming." And Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bowed to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. And then he said to his servant, and we've preached on this before, "Go out and look." And the servant came back and he looked and he said, "I don't see anything." He said, "Go out and look again." I don't know if you remember once I preached, I sent Jordan out of the room seven times and that. And then finally he came back the seventh time and he said, "I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand." And Elijah said, "Hurry and tell Ahab to climb into his chariot and to get back home quickly, because if he doesn't, the rain will stop him." And that. And Ahab quickly obeyed. So obviously there'd been a total change. Suddenly he did it. And then soon the sky was black with clouds and a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. And then it says Elijah actually ran and outran the chariot. Another supernatural miracle. Now, I love the story of Elijah, but it would be very, very easy to read this story and almost think of it as fictional. We live in a world, and you know, Brooke was talking about it before in the offering, and we, you know, I when I was preparing my message, I didn't know what her offering was going to be on, so this was not a collaboration. But we live in a world filled with man-made superheroes. We will live in a world where, you know, these kind of exploits can be done on our TV daily. People can go to the cinema and they can see and that they can see villains being taken down with similar exploits. It's easy to almost think of Elijah as a superhero. I think there's a screen coming up. The Bible's version of Thor or Superman or Captain America, which should come up on the screen. So, you know, we see these kind of things all the time, and sometimes it causes us to dumb down what we're reading in the Bible, because, you know, you see what these guys do, what Hollywood does, and then you're reading the Bible and sometimes it's not quite as confronting and that as it is normally. and that. As entertaining as all these Hollywood movies are, and there's nothing wrong with them at all, but it makes us easy for us to read stories of Elijah and just think Elijah was a superhero. And that the Lord said to me the other day, Elijah was not a member of the Avengers. Despite what I think they'll show you in a minute, Elijah was not one of the Avengers. And that. And now what I want us to do is I want us to jump to the New Testament, and that, because I want us to read a scripture which is going to be my main scripture tying all this together. And it's from James 5, verse 17. And it says, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Now, where is my Elijah? I have an Elijah who's going to come and help me today. Somewhere, here comes Elijah. He's coming down. He's having a drink on the way to get some strength. Okay, he has no idea what I'm going to ask him to do. So I said to him, will you be my Elijah? I said, do you want to read my notes? He said, I prefer ad-libbing. So I'm praying and hopefully he ad-libs well. This is my son, my baby, for anybody who doesn't know him, my little boy, Elijah. Okay, so I want us to break down the perspective that Elijah is a superhero. So I know we know it. None of you would sit there and really think, oh, Elijah was... Oh, my goodness. Okay. I asked for it, didn't I, when I asked him to be my illustration? Thank you. Okay. Elijah and that. So I want us to just to break down who Elijah was to help us to understand who God wants us to be. This is totally where we're going. So it says there, Elijah was a man with a nature like us. Okay. He had a nature like him. Elijah had feelings. Okay. Jay has feelings. The word feelings means emotions influenced by other people or circumstances. Jay has feelings. Okay, Jay, has anyone ever hurt your feelings? Do your feelings change? Oh, he just pointed to his sister. Okay. Can your feelings change?
Very quickly.
Sometimes do all the customers where you work hurt your feelings?
They said something nasty to me and I was very hurt.
Yesterday a customer said something
very
nasty.
Very nasty. Very nasty.
I'm so.
I wouldn't
understand. Okay. Okay. Wait, no, you don't have to point at the people who hurt your feelings. Okay. Oh, you want tissues. Okay. Elijah. He's going to really be Elijah here. Okay. Okay. Can I ask you, Jay? So I want you to understand in all of he's hamming it up, this is what I want you to understand. It says Elijah had feelings. Okay. How do you look when you're feeling sad? How do you look when you're feeling happy? Okay. How did you feel when Collingwood won by a point on Monday?
Yes!
How did you feel when Collingwood lost to Geelong by 3 points a couple of weeks ago? Okay. Because feelings are controlled by other people or circumstances. So if Elijah had feelings, they would have been controlled by other people and circumstances. Okay, it's okay, Collingwood's on top, you can stand up. Okay, then it says Elijah had affections. Jay, do you have affections? A feeling, affections is a feeling of caring for someone.
Who just said for himself? Who was that?
Okay. Affections are a feeling of liking and caring someone or something. Feelings are a tender attachment. Okay, so Jay has feelings. Okay, so a lot, now, I know this is funny, but to stop and think, this is Elijah. This is exactly what James said Elijah was like. I don't know whether he looked like that, but okay, it says Elijah had a constitution. No, let me explain what that is first.
Oh, constitution, right. That's on me.
Okay, a constitution.
I've heard prunes work wonders for that sort of thing.
Okay, a constitution is a physical makeup of the individual with respect to their health, their strength, their appearance. Often they can say somebody has a robust constitution or a feeble constitution, a cold constitution, an irritable constitution. I actually thought when I was writing this last night, when Jay's alarm goes off in the morning, he has an irritable constitution. That is definitely when his constitution is at its most irritable. Okay, so let's read about Elijah's constitution and his feelings. So you just get to stay here for one more minute, Elijah. So we've looked at this mighty man who has come on the scene with this, you know, powerful statement. God has backed up the statement. There's been no rain. Then he's shown them that he can cause, you know, a bull to be burnt just by fire from heaven. He's done all these things. And then it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets of Baal and all her prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Based on what we've read, you would expect it wouldn't affect Elijah, would it? Then he was afraid and he arose and he ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba, over 80 miles out of Jezebel's realm. He left his servant there. And he then went a day's journey into the wilderness and hid under a juniper tree and asked that he might die. So this is this powerful man. Okay. He's got a juniper.
Touch me, Lord, touch me.
Okay, thank you. We can say thank you to Elijah. You can go. No, you can go back to the screens. Thank you. Ah, thank you. Okay. Joe, there's only one of you. So, okay, see the difference. Suddenly you've got the same man who has done all these things and yet this woman comes and threatens him and he just goes running and hiding. It proved that he was a man with feelings, with emotions, with a constitution, and it said he was a man just like us. So he went and spent the night in a cave. I love the Lord's response. The Lord says, what are you doing there, Elijah? I'm sure God would be like, I say, what on earth? Don't you remember what you just did and yet you're hiding from a woman? Don't you remember all the miracles I've just done and now at this woman's word you've suddenly gone and you're hiding? At that moment, I think his constitution was weak. And his feelings were seriously affected by Jezebel. So then if we go back to James 5, verse 16 to 18, so I'll jump in halfway through verse 16. It says, the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, emotions, and constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops. This verse made me understand there is no difference between anybody in this room and Elijah. Elijah is not a superhero. He is not fictional. There was not a superpower in him. Elijah chose to hold on to God's word. And in doing that and in taking God's word and that he saw the victories that he did and that. And I love it when we go back to the verse that I highlighted to you before where it says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today you are the God of Israel. I am your servant, and prove that I have done all this at your command. At your command. And that. So in second, then I just want to put up one more scripture. In 2 Kings, Elisha, the protege of Elijah, is heard yelling out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" He was in a situation, he was believing for something, and he yelled out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" I have heard that statement so many times in my life. But what the question I believe we should be asking is not, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Where are the Elijahs of God? Where are the people who will take God and will take his command and will go and they will face the enemy and they will stand and they will be like the sons of Dodo and they will keep on standing and they will keep on believing until they see the victory? The reason I even though it's so sad that Elijah ran away, but it helped me to understand he was human. He was a person the same as me, the same as Jay, the same as any of you who are sitting here this morning or watching this by live stream. The son of Dodo was an Elijah of God. The son, he protected his bean patch and he wouldn't give up until the job was complete because he was an Elijah of God. And I love that whole concept where you're taking Elijah back down from this person that is unattainable to somebody who is just like us, as Jordan so incredibly portrayed, somebody who had feelings and affections, a constitution, the same as us. Yet at the command of God, he believed God, he spoke God's word, he held fast to it, and he saw all those victories come to pass. And that, and I think that is so important, and particularly where it says that, "Let them know that I have done all these things at your word." It says in 1 Kings 18, when it was time for the sacrifice, this is the same scripture, but just in a different version, to be made, and that he said, Elijah said, "Make it known that I'm doing what I'm doing under your orders." And that just went off in my spirit because I said, "Lord, when I'm standing against sickness, when I'm standing against financial deficits, when I'm doing, as long as it's in the word of God, it means I am standing with God's orders. I am standing there under your orders." And I can speak to that sickness and I can say, "I'm sorry, but I am standing here in faith under your orders. This is not me." Elijah did not dream up the whole thing about going to King Ahab. That would be a nightmare. Elijah did what God had told him to do. And Elijah was confident because he knew he was obeying God. And I want to ask you two questions today. And that, what has God told you to do? What promises has God given you for you and your family? What has God said about your future? What dreams, what desires has God put in your heart? What prophetic words have been given over to you from reputable people, and that, and just not from anybody or something you got off the internet, but reputable prophetic words that you haven't seen come to pass, and that. Also, what has God said about our church? What has God told us in his word? What are the prophetic words that we should be believing for? That is our bean patch, personally and corporately. And we need to say, we are going to be sons of Dodo. We are going to be like Elijah, and we are not going to give up because we are doing it under his orders. This is not me coming up with a harebrained scheme. When Elijah went to the king, he went under his orders. He did not just suddenly wake up one day and thinking, "I think I'll go and visit the king and tell him there's not going to be rain." He did it because God had told him. And one of the things that the Lord was really speaking to me over these last few weeks, when Brother Jesse was here, he spoke that word that I believe was Brooke who alluded to it before or spoke about it. The word was advance. He said something, if you go back and watch the message on YouTube, he said this was only for Melbourne. He preached different messages, but it was actually pretty much the same message everywhere else except in Melbourne. And he said at the beginning, "This was the word God gave me for this church. This was specific. And you can put all the other stories and everything else and all the funny things he said about Fred and everybody else aside. But listen to the fact he came with a word, and that word was advance. Now, what are we doing with that word? Are we like sons of Dodo? Are we like Elijah? Are we pressing in to see that word come to pass? It was interesting, and Brooke said to me this morning, she was talking to Brother Jesse afterwards as we were having supper with him, and that, and she said the very last book that Brother Jerry wrote before he went to be with the Lord was this one on progression and advancement, and that, and he said the last thing God had told him before God took him home was it was time to advance, and he gave that word to all of his Heritage of Faith churches, including us, before he then gave it to the world. And that. So I'm thinking there's something about this word. There is something about that we need to take a hold of. And that. And, you know, just to give you a very quick dictionary meaning, there's, when I looked up the word advance, there's lots of things, but they all mean the same thing. They just say it in a different way. And it's to promote, to raise, to move further in front, to improve, to accelerate, to proceed, to make progress, to grow better, greater, wiser, or older, to rise in rank, to a gradual progression and improvement that keeps on going. That was just some of them, and I said there was heaps and heaps of them there. But I love looking up meanings of words, so I know what I'm praying. I believe it's time for us as a church and for individuals to rise up with the spirit of Dodo and be the Elijahs of God. And to realize it doesn't matter what you're facing, that I don't think that anybody would be facing going and telling, you know, the Prime Minister of China. So I use that as a visual of a non-Christian country, going and telling that there's not going to be any rain until they start acknowledging God. I don't know what you are facing, but when you stop and think what God told Elijah to do and then what God did because of Elijah's obedience, and then you take the spirit that we've said, that's the sons of Dodo that said they would not give up, their hands were almost glued to the sword. And, you know, I thought of a visual that the Lord brought to me this morning. It was quite a while ago, and it was a funny story, but one of my girls, I think their heels had broken on one of their shoes. So Peter had super glued the heel back on, but he'd got the super glue on his fingers and he couldn't get it off. And was it the heel that was stuck on your... Yeah, he glued his hand to the shoe and he couldn't get it off. And we were concerned he was going to have to really seriously rip the skin or go and get it medically taken off. He's got a shoe glued to him because the super glue had glued it to him. And I saw that, and I remember that for a long, long time, us trying different things, trying to pry it off. And I thought, Lord, in that case, we got it off. But in this case, I thought, Lord, I love the fact I want you to look down and see that with me. It's like I'm super glued to God's word. I'm super glued to God's word. I'm super glued to the prophetic words that God has given me as a person, us as a family, us as a church family, and that. And I want to rise up with that same, I want to take it seriously and I want to run with it. I want to realize that Elijah wasn't a superhero, Elijah was a J. I want to be passionate about God's word. I want to be the son of Dodo that says, this word is my bean patch and I'm not letting go until it comes to pass. And that, and you know, we don't do that just for us. We do that for the whole church. Pastor Peter and I are serious about the fact of praying and interceding and our whole leadership team for everybody who calls breakthrough their home. But in order to do that, you need to surround yourself with a firm foundation. And that is so strong. You can't just take this message and suddenly run. You need to have a balanced, firm foundation. If you remember my Barbie message I gave a couple of years ago where I had the frame, and that's exactly what it is, a firm frame to lean on while you stand and you see God's word come to pass. And, you know, I'm going to get maybe, Brooke, if you can just pass or get some of the girls maybe. Something that the Lord put on my heart to do is to give you just a little handout that you can take home. This is old school. It's on paper. It's, you know, not even like a QR code. But it was steps to standing and being Elijahs of God and being sons of Dodo. And we printed them off so that you could, this is what I would say is my five, one, two, three, four, five, yes, bank account. The five steps that God gave me. The first step, and Brooke made them into an acronym for me. Scriptures to stand on. Find verses that speak directly to your situation. Promises from God that you can declare and that you can stand on and wage war with. The second one, which I love, testimony stones or memorials. Miss Carolyn recently shared that, I think it was last month, that in our culture, memorials are built after somebody passes away. But in the Bible, a memorial isn't about what's being lost. It's about what's being won. And that it's about marking a victory. And she said, faith will fade when we forget what God's already done in the past and the victories he's already given. So we need to mark the moments. I love it where it says, Joshua told the children of Israel to get rocks as memorials. And I love this phrase, let your stones tell your story. We should have memorials, whether they're photos, whether it's a journal, whether it's actually, you know, something that you, I don't mean like a memorial that you worship, but yeah, you know, whether it's something you have in your home. Every time God gives you a victory, make sure you have something that you can look back and say, I remember when God did that. You know, next Saturday, and I will try not to cry, next Saturday will be 12 months since Jordan fell off that cliff in Sydney. And when I look at him, when you look at him up here doing everything he was doing this morning, and 12 months ago he was lying at the bottom of a cavern in water. They didn't know whether he'd broken his neck, broken his back. They didn't know what had happened after a serious fall. And that he's being stretched up by 8 firemen and an ambulance people who were trying to and taken to hospital. He's in another state. He's not even here with us. Or with me, Peter was with him. And that, and you know what? We said next Saturday, we're going to mark that. We're going to do something as a family to celebrate God's goodness. The 12 months ago, the enemy tried to take my son's life and tried to not only take his life, but like I remember one of the medics said, the fact that he's alive is a miracle. The fact that he didn't break his neck is a miracle. The fact that he didn't break his back is a miracle. But then they thought that because his leg was so smashed to pieces that he would never ever be able to walk properly or play sport again. And it was, 2 weeks ago, he played his first competitive basketball game. And that fully back with no limitations. And that, so we will be marking that as a memorial of God's goodness. And so then when things happen, we can say, you tried then and that you didn't win. Look at Jay now. Look at him running around on the stage acting like Elijah. And that, because God, I said, memorials are, they strengthen your faith when you're going through things. The next one was email journeys. We have email journeys that our comms team have put together, and it's amazing. And you can get them for free. It just means that every day that our team take a sermon that's preached at the church and they turn it into 5 to 7 emails that you can receive daily. The purpose is so you can find a journey which speaks to you on any topic you may be needing. And every day for a week, you will just get a short email that'll have something that's taken from God's word and from a sermon. And, you know, I get them and I love it. I love it so much. And last week, there was the stuff we were going through as a family. And it was like, I opened the email journey in the morning. It was exactly what I needed to hear. And I was reading it saying, thank you, Lord, this is amazing. And it just so lifted my spirit. And then I began to study it out. And I said to Brooke, I love the email journey from this morning. I don't even remember the message that it was from, but I love it. And then she said, you preach the message. So I was blessed that, like, they are going years back. It's not just current messages. And if you do not subscribe, please do. It will be such an encouragement to you. This is not junk email. The other one is a praise and worship list. I'm very... I love having worship music and praise music on a lot of the time, but I particularly love having go-to songs when I'm struggling. And I actually asked Jane, he's going to do this for me this week. He's going to create a Son of Dodo playlist on both YouTube and Spotify for our church, that he will send the link out to anybody who wants it. Just faith-building songs that you know that the enemy's trying to attack you, you can go straight to that Son of Dodo playlist, and that can strengthen your faith and strengthen your hands to keep on holding on. The last one is studying the Word, filling yourself with God's truth. The more you discover about who he is, the more your faith will grow, the more his faithfulness and his plans will be seen in your life. So I'd love you to take those steps. I'd love you to, from this message, understand that all the things that you are believing for, maybe you're believing for a life partner, maybe you're believing to have a family, maybe you're believing for salvation in the family that God's given you. Maybe you're believing for restoration, for finances, for health, for breakthroughs in other areas. Whatever you're believing for, it says in James that Elijah was a man just like Kirsty, just like Graham, just like Judith, just like Brooke, just like Nadia, just like all of you. And yet he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He had those same feelings. He had those emotions. That was proven that he ran and hid in a cave from a woman. You know, you kind of think, how could you do that? Because he was a man the same as you. You know, I don't put him down. You know, like I'm saying, he showed that he was a man the same as us, with those same feelings, emotions, attachments, the constitution, all those things. He was made up the same as us. He was not a superhero. He was a man who listened to God, and at God's command, he saw miracles. And you know, in closing, I want to ask you, what are you standing and believing for? What has God promised you? I know many of you know that we have things that we're believing for a church, as a church. And if you don't know but would like to know, come and see one of the pastors afterwards, one of the leadership team. We'll be happy to share it. Because if you're part of Breakthrough, the church is your bean patch. Your family is also your bean patch. Your surroundings. As I said, Pastor and I pray for our church family every day without fail, because you are our bean patch. And we are committed to not just seeing our family walk in victory, but seeing you walk in victory. You know, something that was said to me on Friday that really stuck with me said, instead of starting with what you see, why don't you start with what God has said? And I want that to be the very foundation today. We're not starting with what we see. We're starting with what God has said. We're not starting with an empty bank balance. We're starting with the fact that it says in Philippians, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. I'm not starting with a doctor's report. I'm starting with the fact that it says in Isaiah and in 1 Peter that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. It is a done deal. I am not starting with what I see. I am starting with what he has said. And that. And you know what? I'm putting up my hand today and I'm saying, and this has been such a journey for me over these last 2 or 3 weeks, I want to be an Elijah of God and I want to be a son of Dodo. I want to be the one who at the Lord's command will step out and do what he says. And I want to be the one who will not let go, that like Peter with that heel that he was super glued to, that you will not let it go. I want us to start in whatever it is you are believing for this morning or any time in the future when you're watching this. Start with what God says, not with what you see. I want to invite everyone to stand. And if there is anybody this morning who would like us to get into agreement in prayer with you, we would love to do that. There is a couple of people that I really want to pray for. Or if people have brought things, because some people, knowing what I was going to speak on, asked if they could bring things written down, we will happily pray with you. And if you want prayer, if you would like to come out, Winston and Sheridan, if I can get you to come out, I want to pray with you. And that if anybody wants prayer, please feel free while the worship team will be singing. It'll just be a few more minutes and then we'll be finishing. But I believe this is to be a significant day. It's interesting that we're heading to the halfway mark of the year and the Lord really began to speak to me 2 weeks ago. He said this message was to set us up for the second half of the year of what God's calling us to. And Pastor and I talked about this last night, talked with our, leaders. And we're inviting any of you who want to, there is no compulsion at all, there never is, to join us on a 7-day fast starting tomorrow. And as we were praying together last night, we felt God say that He's wanting to set us up both as a church and the individual families in the church for something significant for the second half of this year. And so if you would like to join us, we're going to start it tomorrow, finish next Sunday. For those who don't know, when we call a fast, we tell people they can fast anything they want. Maybe food, maybe social media. Social media is probably a bigger thing than even food now, to be honest. Maybe TV, it may be whatever, it doesn't matter. It's what's between you and God. It's not for us to tell you. But if God puts anything on your heart, and that if you would like to join us, we believe it'll be 7 days that will shape the second half of the year for Breakthrough and the Breakthrough family. And there'll be three opportunities for corporate prayer during this time. 10:30 to 12 o'clock on Tuesday, we will be our normal prayer meeting, and we will be specifically pressing in. Anybody is welcome. And that for what God's got for the church for the second half of the year. Then next Sunday morning, we're going to do two prayer meetings. So I hope he gets it up there. Sunday, 8 o'clock till 8:40, we're going to be doing an early prayer meeting in the auditorium, particularly enabling those who are in the creative team who can't do prayer after that because they're rehearsing, to be part of it if they want to. And then the normal 9 to 9:30 prayer meeting, which is in the furnace room where our youth is held, and that will be there. And if you would like to join us for any of those times, then we would love to have you. But I'm going to get Brooke, if she's here, to lead a song. If you would like prayer, please come out. Pastor and I will pray with you now. And that, but I encourage you, God said, will you be an Elijah of God? Because if you'll be an Elijah of God, you will see the God of Elijah step into your situation. And will you be a son of Dodo that will hold fast to this truth and will not let go until the victory is established? That's our challenge going into this second half of the year.